On Capitol Hill, there's a growing call for the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Members of Congress, including some Republicans, believe Gonzalez has not been candid about why his Justice Department fired 8 U.S. attorneys. With all the attention on Gonzalez this week, we take a few moments now to look at the Office of Attorney General and the tension inherent within it. Nancy Baker teaches government at New Mexico State University. She joins me now from Las Cruces. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I ask you if you would take us back to the very first attorney general under George Washington. How did the founding fathers originally conceive of this position?
Well, actually, they did have examples from British history of an attorney general, the king's attorney, and of the attorney general during the colonial times. But they really were divided on what it would look like. In fact, the initial debates were, should it be placed in under the Supreme Court? Should it be under the executive branch? Finally, of course, they settled on it as an executive branch officer, but it was created under the Judiciary Act of 1789. And the first attorney general was part-time. In fact, that was the case for the first 30 or 40 years, because it was felt that the attorneys general should maintain their skill level, I guess, by maintaining private practice. There was not the sense that it was a conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly in modern times, it would seem as if the appointments have always had the potential for divided loyalties. On the one hand, an attorney general has to execute the policy agenda of the president, the chief mm-hmm. executives, and then on the other, he or she must enforce the law. Give me a good example of any attorney general pushing back against something the president might have wanted that person to do.
Well, for example, during the Lyndon Johnson administration, major plans were undertaken for a large protest, social justice protest at the White House, to set up a shanty town called Resurrection City across from the White House, protesting the administration's failed war on poverty and putting a lot of pressure on the White House. Lyndon Johnson really wanted to deny the protesters the right to protest outside of the White House and, in fact, close down any possibility with the National Park Service of the establishment of the shantytown. And his attorney general, Ramsey Clark, was very clear, this is a First Amendment issue.
Nancy Baker, there was probably no more spectacular moment for the Office of Attorney General than Watergate, when President Nixon ordered Attorney General Elliot Richardson to fire the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox. Richardson refused to do so. He then quit. Then the Deputy Attorney General, William Ruckelshaus, refused to fire the special prosecutor. And it was such a chain of events. Did people feel that that was sort of going to be the end of the office at that time?
Well, you know, that's a good question. There were a lot of hearings held after Watergate to debate the issue, should the Justice Department be removed from White House control? And the conclusion was that the problem was not systemic. It was not structural. The problem was with the individuals appointed to the office, and that, in fact, you want to have some political control. This is a democracy. You don't want to have the chief prosecutor of the country being able to operate without some sort of a democratic check. And the president is that ultimately the democratic check.
Right. Well, we know what happened to that president.
That's right.
There's been a lot of talk about the closeness between Alberto Gonzalez and President Bush, with both of them going back to early days in Texas. Mm-hmm. But it seems that no one could ever have been closer than Robert Kennedy to JFK. It doesn't mm-hmm. get closer than your brother.
Well, I think that's why we really need to understand what we mean by independence from the White House. It need not be someone who is a complete unknown to the president or someone who does not share at all the president's political vision. But you have to have someone who can have the candor and the honesty to confront the president in a nice way to tell the president that what he or she is planning is not appropriate or crosses a line. I think what was different with Bobby Kennedy was that he did have that kind of relationship with his brother, and he did have some experience, political experience, that helped sensitize him to what some of these issues are. And this is an area where Alberto Gonzalez really falls short. He did not have previous experience as a prosecutor. He did not have previous experience in elective office. And he did not have a separate constituency, he does not have a separate constituency outside groups that helped to support him, as did his predecessor, John Ashcroft.
Nancy Baker is an associate professor of government at New Mexico State University in Las Cruces. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
Oh, I've been delighted. Thank you very much.
And one more note. This weekend, the White House is considering congressional requests for documents and witnesses that can shed light on the firing of the eight U.S. attorneys. But the White House suggests that complying with the requests might violate principles of executive privilege. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.